With more than a billion users, Facebook has more or less conquered the developed world. So now the social media giant is setting its sights on third world countries. Now, in these parts of the world, people generally don't have smartphones. So Facebook has found a way to get them to log on with a pared-down service that works on traditional cell phones with plain text messages. Christopher Mims reports for the digital news site Quartz and joins us from WYPR in Baltimore. So, Christopher, tell us more about how Facebook is getting this foothold in the developing world.
What Facebook figured out probably about 2 years ago was that they needed to be where the users were, and that if they wanted a lot of growth, they were going to have to do that in the developing world. And so they started rolling out a whole bunch of ways to access Facebook, sometimes on phones that really could normally not do anything more than voice and text. So the most prominent example, they rolled out something called Facebook Zero, where they got mobile carriers in all of these developing countries to agree to make Facebook free on these phones. So normally they're prepaid phones. You have to pay for data. It's expensive if you don't have a very high income, which is typical in these developing countries. So by making Facebook free, the carriers basically realized they could addict their users to the one thing on the internet that is the most compelling, which is social networking. And then once they were used to that, maybe they'd use some other data services, and that would help the carriers make some more money.
Well, and by the way, you say this is the one internet that many people know, Facebook. And Facebook is kind of, you know, another part of their plan is to convince users that the internet and Facebook are the same. I mean, some of them already think that because it's the only part of the internet they have access to. But Facebook is quite happy with that.
Literally, Facebook is their first experience with the internet or with the web. So if you're in the Philippines, for example, almost 100% of people who access the internet are on Facebook. For them, the internet and Facebook kind of are one and the same, especially because Facebook is the one thing that's free on these phones.
Well, and you say Facebook gets the users. That's what they want, to increase the number of users for, you know, advertisers to see that. And the phone companies get more data. But we understand that initial phone users in developing countries were the people who had some money. Now the millions of people who are getting these old-fashioned cell phones don't have a lot of money to spend on data. So how much can the telephone companies make from them?
So what's interesting about what's going to happen next for both all these telephone companies in the developing world and for Facebook is that their fate is tied to the fate of what people always call the next billion, which is essentially the next billion people on Earth to rise up into the middle class. So if those people, if their income continues to grow, and it is growing very rapidly in places like, you know, Brazil and throughout Asia and Africa, then they're going to have more money to spend. Their advertisers are going to want to reach them. And Facebook's going to make more money reaching them by whatever means. And they'll also have more disposable income to spend on voice and text and data, which is what their mobile carriers want. So as long as that trend continues, this is a really smart move for everybody involved.
Well, yeah, and if competitors come, they could be Twitter, they could be who? Who could cut into this market for Facebook? Because you say that Facebook's being sort of quiet about this.
Facebook probably isn't paying these cell phone carriers anything to be free on their networks. It's more like a mutually beneficial relationship. So if Google or Twitter or one of Facebook's many, many local competitors or many regional social networks that in some countries are even more popular than Facebook came in and said, you know, we'll give you a little bit of money, or we have a more compelling argument that why we should be free, then, yeah, it could cut into their user base in the developing world.
You talk about the business end, but do you know what the sociologist end of it says about this?
So there are some academics who argue that this is very dangerous because Facebook has sort of a checkered history of being scrupulous or not with our personal information. So if you view Facebook as the world's ultimate surveillance machine, it's bad news that there's going to be another billion people, that they could go from 1 billion users to 2 billion users. On the other hand, if you look at it as Facebook found a way to get mobile carriers all over the world to give away a little piece of the internet, then that's really good. So here's a positive example. There are folks in the Philippines who, if you were to friend them on Facebook Zero, you might get spammed with notifications saying, hey, there's a photo with you in it. And then you go to look at the photo, and actually it's a picture of a tea kettle that's being sold on a roadside stand somewhere. And so this is an example of how folks in other countries have figured out how to kind of hack the basic architecture of Facebook to use it, in this case, for an entirely commercial purpose.
By the way, we should say Facebook is illegal in some countries.
Right. So this is kind of funny. I mean, Facebook is illegal in China, and the best evidence we have is that there are more than 63 million Chinese people in mainland China on Facebook. So despite the fact that it's totally blocked there, it's not that hard to get around what's called the Great Firewall, which is the way that the Chinese government blocks certain websites in China. Another example is Vietnam. Facebook is sometimes blocked there. There are something like 30 or 40 million Vietnamese on Facebook. Periodically, it's blocked in all the usual countries you would think, like Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia. And it remains enormously popular in all of these countries.
Well, so it sounds as if, you know, people talk about Facebook on its way to world domination. It sort of is.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think in writing this piece, I thought about what does it mean that Facebook is going to someday have 2 billion users, which would be all the internet users in the world right now. What that means is that Facebook will be a utility, like email, let's say, just this very basic thing that we all rely on, and we assume it's going to be there, and is useful to us in other ways. I mean, increasingly, you're logging into sites other than Facebook through your Facebook identity, and then that data is being shared between Facebook and that other site. So there is this kind of, I wouldn't call it a battle, but this race for various companies to sort of own what's known as your social graph, which is the map of all the people you're connected to and the ways in which you're connected, because that data is very valuable to marketers and advertisers, obviously. So at some point, if Facebook is ubiquitous, it has this whole other layer of value. It's just that's where the information about almost about who you are resides.
Christopher Mims reports on Facebook in the developing world for the digital news site Quartz. Christopher, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And of course, you can join us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/hearnowradio. And by the way, click the like button and we'll keep you in the loop about upcoming guests and stories like the one you just heard. And you can also follow us on Twitter @HereAndNow, @HereAndNowRobin. Thank you so much. And always you can call. We never do this. The phone number. We have a phone. 617-358-0397. You're listening to Here and Now.